Certainly good to see everyone out this morning. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. It's good to see several out this first day of the week that haven't been able to be out for worship service recently, and we're so thankful for everyone that is here this morning. So our gospel meeting is 10 days away. And last week I did a sermon on the need for a gospel meeting. This sermon is going to be geared toward our meeting, and I plan on coming up with one next week also, next Sunday, just so we have our focus a little bit more on the work that we are doing. And this morning I want us to look at excuses. And here's an example of an excuse that someone wrote. It says, "Dear Mrs. Miller, Ray is so sick he cannot go to school." And it's signed Ray's mom, and it says, "No homework, please, P-L-E-S-E. And we look at that, and that's a humorous excuse. But to this person, that was probably a very serious excuse. They did not want to go to school. Let's look at those scriptures again in Luke 14, beginning at verse 15. "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So excuses, everybody makes them. They are nothing new. And with this lesson too, I know everybody here is going to do your part, but when we are talking to people, when we invite people, they're going to be making excuses. And if we understand excuses a little bit better, maybe we can help persuade some, and we should just, you hand out an invitation, expect an excuse, but we need to find a way around that excuse. Excuses have been from the beginning of time. In Genesis 3:12, the man said, "The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." Here's one of the first excuses from Adam. Moses, in Exodus 4:1-10, he said to the Lord, "O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Moses was making the excuse, "I'm not a good speaker." And in Acts 24:25, Paul, when he was preaching to Felix, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." So he was saying, when I've got time, and we run into that with people when we tell them we want to talk to them about the church or about the Bible or about their salvation. Sure, we'll do that. When I've got some time, And they're using that as an excuse. But what is an excuse for definition? It's a pretense, a pretext, a cloak. A cloak is something you cover something with. They're trying to hide something. It's a deception to deflect attention and divert responsibility. Part of the dictionary definition. So that means they are trying to divert what you're wanting them to do and put attention somewhere else. An explanation offered as a reason for being excused, a plea offered for a release from an obligation, promise, etc. So people will give excuses to get out of doing something that they should do or to get out of an obligation. Sometimes people will say, well, I didn't know any better. And what do we say to that? Ignorance is no excuse. We should know better. Sometimes people will use age as an excuse. And you think about, pick any age you want to, and somebody will say, well, I'm too young to do this. You think about somebody on the other end, well, I'm too old. I've got all of these problems. I'm too old. You pick somebody in between, I'm too busy. Look at me. I'm in the prime of my life. I'm too busy. People use age as an excuse over and over. Well, when we look at excuses, there are two basic reasons for making excuses. The first one is to hide something that is really taking place. That's like Ray's note. He was trying to hide something that was taking place. He was playing hooky, doing something else, and he wrote a note to hide that fact. This type of excuse is really nothing than a lie. A lie, a deception to deflect attention and divert responsibility. You talk to somebody and say, I'd like to invite you to hear the preacher with their special lesson. Oh, yeah, I'd like to. And what's the next word? But. I'd like to come, but I've got this, that, and the other. Maybe the truth, maybe a lie. And some people, you know, they are just going to, especially if they are worldly people, a lot of people aren't going to think twice about not being honest in an answer with you. So one of the reasons is to try to hide something. The second excuse is to avoid personal responsibility. Avoid personal responsibility either for doing what we ought to do or for not doing what we ought to do. We'll often use an excuse to get us off the hook, to get us off the hook. People will think, when you invite people, and part of what's going on in their back of their mind, if I don't go and listen to that preacher, then I'm not going to have to change what I'm doing. If I don't go and listen to what he's saying, I can keep on doing and he's not going to affect my life at all. And again, people are selfish. It's hard for us not to be selfish because we are surrounded by selfishness every day. So in Luke 14, 18 through 20, excuses were offered by people. They declined the invitation to attend a great feast to which they were invited. And you just stop and think about this. This is talking in Luke 4 about the great feast, coming to the Lord, salvation. It's talking about heaven. And they declined. And friends, we should never be embarrassed or shy about inviting people and trying to get people to come to the greatest message that they will ever hear. Sometimes we might try doing something and people tell us no. What's that going to change? They did their part, they said no, but we have our part to reach out to the lost. I was at the doctor's office this last week and there was a plaque on the wall and it said, at the end of the day, don't pay attention to how large the harvest is, but pay attention to how many seeds you sowed. We should be busy sowing seeds every day because God is the one that will give the increase. So here's this parable about the kingdom of God, and it's being considered with Israel's rejection of this invitation. But there are some principles that still apply today. How one responds to the gospel invitation is critical, and we must not make excuses for not obeying the gospel or doing God's work. Excuses just are not accepted. And notice the invitation went out to those that were invited. Again, and that, like we talked about last week, that's part of our work as a congregation, getting the invitation out. Come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. So we see two things to take away from this. We should have all of our work done. All of our work done. And again, something that comes to mind, we can't pray too much for the work of the Lord's church. And in talking to different people and hearing what's going on in other places, there are a lot of congregations. They look like good, solid congregations, but what is the future going to be? Are we praying and thinking about the Lord's church? The church that Jesus left heaven, he came here, he died on the cross to purchase the church, the blood-bought, heaven-sent, spirit-filled church. We should value it as one of the most valuable things that we can be a part of and love it, just like Christ did. And how much did he love the church? He loved the church enough to die for it. That's for you and for me. And we need to have this love for the church, so we need to do everything on our part to be ready. Ready not just 10 days from now, but ready all the time. All the time. And then what's the other point to expect from this? We should not be surprised, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. If we say, I'd like you to come and attend our gospel meeting, probably they aren't going to say, oh goody, when can I come? They probably aren't going to say that. They're going to start and think of some excuse. So let's learn from some of the excuses so that we don't make excuses, or so that we help understand when other people do it, again, what they are really saying and how we can try to persuade them. The first excuse in verse 18, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you, have me excused. So this first one is an excuse of necessity. I bought a field. I've got to go and see it. I've got to go and see it. This is one of the excuses that people will use for not entering the kingdom. They'll use it for not doing a number of things. But stop and consider this excuse, and I'm going to keep going back to the note, is just as silly as that note. Would any of us buy a field without looking at it? No, we would want to go and examine it first. And notice, too, this feast that they are invited to, in verse 17, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things now are ready. At supper time, this would have been late in the evening, probably have been getting dark. And are you going to go out and look at a field in the dark that you didn't even look at before you bought it, but you're going to use that for an excuse? We see how silly this is, but no matter what the thing is, any of the excuses that we make are that silly before God. Some people place a higher value on the cares of this life than they do on answering Jesus' call of invitation. I heard something, and this was years ago, but like with cell phones or phones or tablets or whatever, they have these little notification sounds, and that notification sound will go off, and what do people do? A lot of times they jump. Oh, I got to see. They hear that little sound and they jump. I got to see what that was. I got to see what that was. They'll jump at the sound of a notification beep, and they'll sleep through the call of Jesus Christ calling us to come to this great supper. Where are people's values? We've just got to get them to stop and slow down. Slow down. You can't make it to our gospel meeting? How about you come with me on Sunday? How about you come with me on Wednesday night? You can't make that? Can we get together sometime and have a cup of coffee and study God's Word? Can we do this? We shouldn't give up. People's excuses are flimsy. And we don't want to alienate people. If they tell us no, we've invited them, and we can say, well, maybe another time, or think about it. We don't take no as the final answer. But people place so much value on earthly possessions, and the people of the world, and as Christians, we cannot place more value on getting earthly possessions than on obeying the gospel of Christ and doing His will every day. With the assembly, sometimes we will hear people say, well, I can't make it on Wednesday night. We'll hear a young person say, I can't make it on Wednesday night or this time. I've got school, I've got homework. Or we'll hear a parent say, well, I can't bring the kids out during the evening because they've got to go to bed early to get up for school the next day. Which is more important? Teaching a child about eternity or letting them go to bed at an early time? It's a choice. I've got to earn a living. How am I going to eat? You know, I can't make it to services. They just want me to work so much at the factory. I can't get away. Well, I've got to take a vacation. You know, I've got to go, and I've got to get away. And we all have to get away sometimes, but we can plan the Lord's work first, and then we can plan to get away. I've got to stay home and fix this. I've got to work on my car. I've got to get this done before I go to work tomorrow, because if I don't get it done tonight, I can't go to work. Excuse after excuse after excuse. I told this story here one time before. I asked them why they weren't at services, and I didn't know what to say. I'd never heard this excuse. I didn't know how to answer, and it was sad, but they said, I painted my door, and I couldn't close it. I had to leave it open so it could dry. And yeah, you're laughing at that, but they were serious. It was like they were looking for any excuse to get out of coming to service. The second excuse, the excuse of other obligations. In verse 19, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them, and I ask you, have me excused. You know, so excuses continue. And we somehow rationalize this is something that must be done, so this is going to get us out of doing what God wants us to do. And when we invite friends, everybody's busy today. Everybody's busy. And again, when we invite people, we shouldn't wait till the last minute. And like there are some people I've been trying to get together with to talk about some things for months, and they're busy. They're busy, and we'll do it this week. Okay, this week comes around, we don't do it. Do I give up? No, we got to keep on. We got to keep on till we connect. When this meeting is over, that's not the end of trying to reach souls. Because people are going to, what are they going to do? They're just going to keep coming up with more excuses. What about our responsibility to Christ? Matthew 6:31. Therefore, Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We worry about so much, and it's such a distraction, and Satan likes us to worry about things, but we've got to seek the kingdom first. And with our friends or with us, all of that stuff that we are busy about working to get, at the end of this life, what's going to happen? It's all going to be gone. This world is going to be burned up. And we need to be a little blunter with our friends sometimes and with the excuses they make. And you might hear somebody making an excuse about their job, and they use that as an excuse not to do God's work. My job just keeps me from doing it. My spouse keeps me from doing God's work. I've got kids, and they keep me, I'm busy with my kids. They keep me from doing God's work. And just ask them, well, if that's what's stopping you from serving God, what if God took your job away? Then you wouldn't have anything to complain about. What if God took your spouse away? What if God took your children away? Oh, no, that couldn't happen. And see, we just use... it's a deception, a diversion. We'll use this. Oh yeah, you gotta work all of that time. You've got to do this with your kids. You've got to do that with your spouse. Friends, what we've got to do is seek to put the kingdom first. If we put the kingdom first, all that other stuff is going to fall into place. It's going to fall into place. And the thing that we might enjoy most here on this earth, just let your friends know, the things that you enjoy the most here on this earth, when you die, if you are not welcomed into heaven, but the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you, and you are in hell, that thing that you loved the most here on this earth is going to be the thing that you will hate the most through all eternity. Through all eternity. Oh, I wish I hadn't spent so much time on this. I wish I had given my life to Christ. These are diversions, deceptions that Satan uses. He uses on us. He uses on our friends. And friends, if Jesus is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. He will not take second place. It's God, he's everything or he's nothing. He will not take second place. Look at the third excuse. It's family responsibilities outweigh our responsibility to God. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. This is an excuse I've heard over the years. Family dropped in. You know, I had to stay with my family. Well, is that putting Christ first? I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Does the wife take precedence over Christ? These excuses are just like Ray's note. They're silly. They're silly. You look at the short time that we are here and what God has asked us to do and the excuses that we come up with, they are just silly excuses. So we need to be thinking, when our friends make excuses, we need to just be a step ahead and think of something to reply. You know, the next time, if anybody ever says they couldn't come because they painted their door and left it open, I'm going to be ready for them. They say some other things, I'll be ready for them. We need to be proactive. What about if we are already a member of the Lord's church and we're making excuses? Or what if you're not a member of the Lord's church? What's your excuse for not being baptized? What is it? It's probably a silly excuse. What's your excuse for not reading your Bible every day? For not praying fervently? For not attending all the services? For not telling people about Jesus? You know, this is the greatest invitation here in Luke 14, and people didn't come. They didn't come. We will be, during the gospel meeting, offering the greatest invitation to people. What's our excuse for not giving as we ought? For not surrendering everything to God? For not praying for a meeting? What's our excuse for not answering somebody else's excuse? Do they say something and my jaw drops open and I just walk away? We need to be ready to give an answer. What's our excuse for not following up after the meeting? We should have contacts. We should keep us busy working in the vineyard. Well, was back to this wedding feast in verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." When these people that were invited did not come, this master became angry. And he said, "I will find somebody that wants to come." Everybody that we invite, not just for the meeting, but talking to them in our daily activities, not everybody is going to want to hear the gospel, but we need to keep looking, because there are good and honest hearts out there, and we need to keep looking until we find them. So we have the excuse of necessity, the excuse that family responsibilities outweigh our obedience and responsibility to Christ, and the excuse of others' obligations. I pray thee, please have me excused. Friend, have you given your life to God? If not, what's your excuse? And I'm talking about if you've never been baptized, or if you have been baptized, but you have not really given your life to Christ, what's your excuse? Are you seeking and putting the kingdom first in your life? If not, what's your excuse? What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Is it the excuse of necessity? Is it the excuse of other obligations? Is it the excuse of your family? Is what God asks of us to do, is that unreasonable? No, in Romans chapter 12, we know it's only reasonable that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice. And if you are making excuses in your life for not serving Christ, your excuses are not going to be accepted by Christ. He left heaven. He came down to this world that is corrupt and defiled by sin. He became a sin sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. Friend, don't stay in sin. Turn from sin. Come to Christ. Please do it this morning. Don't put it off. None of the excuses that you offer are going to be accepted by the Master. Please come forward now as we stand and sing.